Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila 1, text 181. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Prabhu kahi rai tomara ihate ulas Sunite laje loke kare upahasa Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, My dear Ramananda Roy, you are jubilant at hearing these poetic expressions, but I am ashamed to hear them. The people in general joke about the subject of this verse. Omigana Timurandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Taksur Mritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Amano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayambhu Pakadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasude Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So greetings from Govardhan. Quite an amazing atmosphere here in Govardhan. You have advanced Vaishnavas at their best. I live behind the Bhaktivedanta Ashram, and they're practically having continuous readings and discussions of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. In fact, they'll complete both volumes this week, and there's many intelligent senior Vaishnavas that are congregating both morning and evening. And that type of sangha really creates an atmosphere of purity among dealings. So it's just really just a pleasure whenever I go over there. Unfortunately, due to my own schedule, I only go over there between 4 and 5:30. But just nice to hear the readings and the discussions from many angles of vision. And yesterday was particularly glorious. It was the Tirobhav Mahotsava of Srila Prabhupada. Tirobhav means hidden. And sometimes we say disappearance, but that indicates that someone's gone. Tirobhav is just a hidden manifestation of a person. And it has its potency because in the hidden manifestation of a person, sometimes his instructions called vani become even stronger. And really, proximity is never really just purely a matter of inches and feet in terms of people. We all have that experience, being so close to people but being so far away. Because if there's no intimacy, there's no trust, There's no revelation of one. So how many times have we been around people for so many years that we don't even know? So even on that platform, but on the spiritual platform, closeness is consciousness. Which brings people together. I made a specific point on Prabhupada's disappearance when I spoke that, you know, I saw that there were people in the audience. The audience, it was a congregation of the devotees that are staying out in Govardhan and Radhakund. A few came from Vrindavan. But it's really wonderful devotees at their best. Even in Govardhan, there's two different sanghas, one where I stay and another down the road where Sachinandana Swami is staying and some other people. And then there's some at Radhakund where Mahanidhi is and Swami is. So I really spoke, you know, that when you really talk about a spiritual person, person who has realization, who's realized, you're not limiting the person's existence to history. When you're not pure, who you are, who you present to be, is historical. It appears in time and is gone. Your nationality, your everything is gone. But a spiritual personality, they're really revealing their soul because the soul is service to God. And when someone is fixed in that service to God, you're really contacting the person because that's who they are. So when you have someone who's so dedicated to God consciousness, I mean, when you hear these presentations of people's relationships, and they were substantial presentations, not just eulogy or sentiment, it was substantial. Bhurijan Prabhu, Sachinandana Maharaj, Jayadvaita Swami, Vaisheshika Prabhu, Keshava Bharti Maharaj. They were substantial presentations. Of course, the sentiment was also mixed in. And when you get the vision of someone who has given everything to Bhagavad, everything to the Bhagavad, everything to God, you really get a sense that that's the real person. And that real person is eternal. So it's not historical. So it means access to that person is also not historical. It's not a point of time. The access to Prabhupada is also now by those who are dedicated and surrendered to his service. And that's so clear to me. I mean, you know, seeing some people either born in the mission, but, you know, and people who joined a little bit afterwards, but to serve Prabhupada with such dedication. There's access, just like I like to feel that I have a relationship with Srila Rupa Goswami. I don't feel that he's dead, that he's gone. I feel it's a spiritual personality. Anyway, it was just really relishable. I mean, I had that experience. I lit my place's 5-minute walk, woke up early, chanted, did my deity worship, walked over. Wow, what kirtans. Havi. Amazing. Materially, he's a Grammy Award winner, but very humble Vaishnav. An interesting thing, many, many people did kirtan. Also, Irmala, Mataji, lady, so sincere to hear her realizations. anyway, when I spoke, and generally when I do the Sangha here, I say a little bit about where I am, but mostly like to discuss the text, but yesterday was such a special day. I have to say, I came there at 9. I heard... one second. Hey, Vasudeva, I'm giving class right now, okay? I'll call you after the class, okay? I came there at 9 o'clock, and the kirtan was just so wonderful. And then the speaking began, first with Jayadvaita Swami, then Satchinanda Swami, then myself, and then Irmala. And, you know, it was so absorbing, each one, that, you know, I looked at my watch and it was noon. I was so shocked. You know, after a while, Satchinanda spoke about Prabhupada, the chanter of the holy name. Jayadvaita Maharaj spoke about Prabhupada, you know, not compromising the truth. Whatever it is, people have different perspectives. And, anyway, I generally try to find Prabhupada in something I'm presently reading. So I was reading a verse in the Narada Bhakti Sutras that I taught on Wednesday, for those of you that attend that class. And something really struck me, you know, because it was discussing this verse where the conclusion was, it was towards the end, verse 79, if you want to look it up, but it said, carefree or without doubt, how you translate the Sanskrit, then one always dedicates himself to the worship of God. So that was the conclusion after so many instructions in Narada Bhakti Sutra, or it's beginning the concluding verses. Of course, the next verse will say that that's best done by chanting the holy name. But I have this one book, too. What I'm doing is I'm reading three commentaries. And I read, right now, it's Satsrup Marj's excellent commentary. And then Satsrup Marj and Prabhupada, when they did the commentary, they used this commentary called The Philosophy of Love by Hanuman Prasad Poddar, who was one of the main editors for the Gita Press, which is one of the probably the biggest publishing house in India of spiritual books. So he made a point that I really like. He said, this type of verse, it's a conclusion of someone who has studied the Shastra, studied the sacred text, and actually came to the realization of what God is or what Krishna is. In other words, when you actually understand to the point that you actually see what God means, how he's pervading everything, how he's all-knowing, how his vibhutis, his potencies, his beauties, his power, how substantial, how reality itself is God, that there's nothing outside of God. Eternal, all-powerful, all-loving, all-sweet personality. When you realize the significance of that, by doing what we're doing now, which is regularly Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, by serving the Bhagavat, which means the person Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat, the person Bhagavat, the devotee, the godly devotee always speaks about the book Bhagavat, the books about God, and the books about God speak about the saintly person. When you engage in this way and increase your realization increase your understanding, then that becomes the conclusion. A life of total dedication. And it's such a beautiful concept because a life of dedication doesn't even require that you become renounced from all your attachments. Just requires that you use everything that God has given you. It's a matter of consciousness. Krishna consciousness. It's a matter of understanding a relationship with God and feeling that relationship, which is called prema or love. So one who has that understanding, then he's always engaged in that worship. So my point was, if you look at Prabhupada's life, I mean, you look at his life, did not sleep. I used to live in the guest house. I used to wake up in the morning, whether it was 2, 3 in the morning, I looked down, Prabhupada was already there on his porch translating. Prabhupada was always engaged in service. There's not a minute. No one can ever say they were with Prabhupada where he wasn't engaged in some type of service, either speaking about Krishna, planning about Krishna, whatever. So such a person who has realized the sacred text, has applied the sacred text, and therefore has realized the truth, tattva darshana, he's realized tattva or reality, then his words have great conviction and a very powerful transformatory effect. Very powerful transformatory effect. I was speaking also in that verse, Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. They were wandering from universe to universe, from species of life to species of life, until by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we get the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotional service. And I always speak about this. What is that seed of devotional service? I look at my own life. I didn't have that full faith. That ultimate sublimity was in service to God. I had faith in so many other things. Prabhupada said that faith means to trust in something sublime. Your faith is where your sublimity. So when you hear from someone who has that faith in the sublimity of one's relationship with God, with Krishna, when you hear from such a person and their conviction, it can put that conviction in your heart, and not only put that conviction in your heart, it can make you apply that conviction in such a way that you realize and taste that conviction. The seed of devotional service you get from Guru, the seed of devotional service you get from Guru is just the idea and the concept, but the faith in that idea by the experience of serving God. And the sublimity, even a drop of that sublimity of serving God, makes every other pleasure one has pale in comparison. And that's what Prabhupada gave. And then I began to speak in my own offering, just I thought, be interesting. The times that I heard Prabhupada quote a verse personally, in a personal setting where I was there, not just a class, with conviction, with realization, and the power of that. I remember in Texas, Prabhupada calling the teachers and saying, you call yourselves teachers now, what is the purpose of education? People are giving so many verses. Dayananda, some of you know him, said 9 things, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, you know, chanting, hearing, probably, yes, but it wasn't what he wanted. Then someone said 4 things, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto, Madhyajina, always think of Krishna, worship, and the Prabhupada said. Then Prabhupada wasn't getting the answer he wanted, and then he said, Guru Nisasyat from Rishabhadev, Swajani Nisasyat, Pita Nisasyat, don't become a guru. Take responsibility for someone, head of a government, father, unless you can liberate your charge. Anyway, Prabhupada was the essence. The essence of any position of authority is taking responsibility. And Prabhupada said that with conviction because he had taken a position which he took full responsibility for. And the second time is when a little background on the second time. Prabhupada was trying to get his health back in a place in Rishikesh on the Ganga, and then one night the storm came and the shutters were flapping and Prabhupada's legs swelled up and he saw that this is a very, very dangerous sign. So he said, immediately take me to Vrindavan. Prabhupada understood that he'd be leaving soon. And then he came into his room. Now, in those days, I mean, now you can't find a room in Vrindavan. In those days, no one could even rent a room, and our guest house was so empty that Prabhupada was told the devotees to put billboards by the train station. So, didn't seem there was more than 15, 20 people in the room, and then Prabhupada was sitting there, and he actually told us, he said, now I've come to leave, but if one has to leave the world, let it be Vrindavan. And then he said, it has the white sands of Ramanreti, the Jamuna River, he said a few things like that. Then he said, but what is death but a change of body? And then he quoted Bhagavad Gita from realization. Dehaino sminyatade he komaranyovanam jaratatade hantara praptir diras tatanamuyate. As the embodied soul passes from childhood to boyhood to youth to old age, similarly at the time of death, one accepts another body, another existence. The self-realized soul, diras tatanamuyate, diras, sober, is sober, is not bewildered by such a change. And Prabhupada said that as one who is not fearful of death, not fearful of the change of body. And then I was in the room when he left. I think it was about 30, 40 people. And we saw sober. And then, somehow, against all medical advice, Prabhupada left again. I was there at midnight of the disappearance day of Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada came out of his room. We were doing kirtan. There was no samadhi or tomb in the front. We put Prabhupada's body on the back seat of a car laying down, and he left Vrindavan. Shouldn't have left by medical standards. He was really ill. But he went again to the West. How glorious. But then it was obvious that he was too ill to continue, and he immediately came back and went to Bombay, came by train, and they picked him up in some truck or car. Remember, he came in the side gate with Brahmananda. Those of you know, Brahmananda is very, couple of 300-pound disciple of Prabhupada. Just carrying Prabhupada in his arms, and Prabhupada folded his hands and looked at us. And I remember so humbly he said, Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Pankarajam Adyeva Me Vishatume Manasara. Let me die now when the swan of my mind is entangled with the lotus of your feet. Otherwise, at the time of death, when my throat is filled up with mucus, and how will I remember you? He said that. Anyway, it was just a very, very glorious day, and everything to like incredible prasadam, but not just that, how it served and the proper Vaishnav way, the collegial, congenial mood among all the people there. Special day and relish. So now let's go to the text at hand. And I just, of course, I always give just a little bit background. Because most of you have been following this since the beginning. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just as Prabhupada returned to Vrindavan for the end of his life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returns to Puri for the end of his life. Now, he leaves the world at 48 years of age, and he's only 30 at this time. But it's the end of his life, in the sense it's the last part of his life, where he's going to exclusively focus on the mission of his life. And Chaitanya is Krishna, who has come to experience love of Godhead from the unique perspective of a devotee. So, even though it's God, he's seeking something which he feels he lacks, which is the experience of a devotee. So he wants that experience. And now he's going to stay in Puri and focus on nurturing that experience and thus set an example for us. But the aim of our life is also to get that experience. That's the aim of my life. I want to have love of Godhead. I want to have the experience of pure love of Godhead, which is the experience that great souls have. So one essential element in getting that experience is anugata. Anugata, it means to follow those, to follow the life of those who have achieved that experience. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, in the end of his life, to focus on achieving that experience. The sentiments and feelings of a devotee at the height of their love. So, in following his life, we're going to also see what are the elements in achieving that experience. So we're at a particular part now where one of his disciples has come from Bengal to meet him, who's a particular intimate disciple, and by his devotion and surrender, which has been demonstrated by his, and trust, which has been demonstrated by his level of service, has been blessed with the understanding of Lord Chaitanya's heart and Lord Chaitanya's mission. And he is able to express that in beautiful poetry, which is the only medium to express Lord Chaitanya's mission. Because emotion and sentiment, love of Godhead, is best expressed through poetry. And he's expressed, and so far, so what's happened now at this particular time, so we're learning about this, and we're learning about the unique contribution of Srila Rupa Goswami, who understood, and I've said this many, many times, but it's a key point in the story, understood that really, the ultimate reality is rasa. And what rasa means is an overwhelming experience, in this case, an overwhelming experience of a devotional emotion. That's the ultimate attainment. That's the ultimate attainment. That's when you are true to yourself. That's when you merge into eternality. When you realize rasa. When you realize that feeling of overwhelming devotion. And Rupa Goswami realized that the Bhagavatam, which depicts the stories of Krishna, perfectly depicts that emotion. And not only perfectly depicts that emotion, but that emotion is described and understood through classical poetics, which is ultimately a reflection of that ultimate reality. So what happens now is Srila Rupa Goswami meets one of Lord Chaitanya's most confidential associates, Ramananda Roy. He's considered one of the four most confidential associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's also a kavi. And a kavi is a poet par excellence. And they're so masters, they're such masters of wordcraft, that in 100 years, there's only a handful of kavis. Really. So, we're now following a discussion of between this Ramananda Roy and Rupa Goswami, who's showing his poetry, and Ramananda Roy is asking about the technicalities of the dramas that Rupa Goswami composed on the pastimes of Krishna. And through that, we're hearing, in summary, because the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And some of the most beautiful expressions of love of Godhead, of Krishna consciousness, are the expressions, poetical expressions of the dramas of Srila Rupa Goswami. So, Ramananda Roy is just asking him questions on the composition. And you get a little taste or briefing of the science of classical poetics. In terms of Bhakti Ras. So right now what happened is, in classical poetics, when you have a drama, there's so many technical elements. And when someone actually knows the science and has the ability to compose according to the science of classical poetics, then one is perfectly able to recreate a rasa or overwhelming emotional experience in such a way that the audience feels the same thing. So, when he recreates in drama the rasa of bhakti, love of Godhead, an audience with interest, sincere interest, will have the same experience. In other words, there's an ultimate experience called Bhakti Rasa. One is totally consumed and overwhelmed with love of Godhead. That's the goal. Then you have people like Rupa Goswami who understand and have realized that experience and has understood and realized how that experience is perfectly encapsulated in the Bhagavatam. And then based on the Bhagavatam, can write further leelas or pastimes of Krishna, which perfectly recreate or encapsulate that experience in such a way that the audience feels that perfectional state. I remember years ago, 20 years ago, I took some young straight-edge kid, actually it was Paramananda and Narottam. It was quite a few years ago. Maybe 20 years ago. And I took them to in Vrindavan. And when I took them in Vrindavan, we went to Jai Singh there, where they have these famous Ras Leela performance. And we came there, you know, and you're sitting in the audience, and you're sitting in the audience, and you see so many saintly widows and so many Babajis, very renowned people, just sitting with their japa mala, relishing those dramas and feeling the expressions of love that are contained there. And that's specifically why we're hearing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it's also a Rasa Shastra. It's also a perfect presentation of love of Godhead. So now in this particular discussion, Ramananda Roy is just asking about the technicalities of the composition, so we get a little flavor understanding of it. And there's all these references to the, what's it called, the Sahitya Darpana, the original text of Sanskrit composition, if someone wanted to read further. So he's asking, it's very interesting, he wants to know the Nandi Dvitiya, the second Nandi Shloka, because the proper drama has a introductory verse that sets the setting and mood of rasa, and hints at the drama that will unfold. So now there's, in this drama, Lalita Madhava, there's a Nanda Dwitiya. He wants to know, what is the second? Because sometimes you have one introductory verse, and then you have another introductory verse. So he wants to know what the second one is. Now, the second one happens to be a beautiful verse about Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya externally is very unhappy to hear this verse, because as a Vaishnava, as one seeking love of Godhead, the last thing he wants is personal glorification. Because personal glorification, if you are eager for personal glorification, it moves you out of the standing, the position by which you can feel love of Godhead, which is the center. Glorification moves you to the center. If you're eager for glorification and you hear glorification, it moves you out of this, it moves you to the center, which is not a position where love flows. So a Vaishnava is always hesitant to be glorified. It's really a test of your spirituality. How much are you acting to have your own ego endorsed? It's so subtle, it's so insidious. How much are you acting in that way and moving in that way to have your own ego endorsed? A spiritual person doesn't move an inch in that direction, especially one who wants to achieve love of Godhead. So externally, Lord Chaitanya is displeased, but internally he's happy because he's guru. And when you glorify rather than be glorified, it moves you into the position where you can achieve love of Godhead. So, as a devotee, he's not happy, but as a teacher, he's happy that his disciple is moving in that position by glorifying Guru and Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, right, to Ramananda, you're jubilant hearing these expressions, but I'm ashamed. But Ramananda Roy said, instead of, because people will joke, he said, instead of joking, people will feel great pleasure in hearing such poetry, for the initial remembrance of the worshipful deity invokes good fortune. The Abhishta Deva, the in hearing about that, about God, a glorification of God, because Lord Chaitanya is also God, by hearing about God, Ramananda Roy says, no, by hearing about God, it will be Mangalacharna. The beginning will be mangala, auspicious. You'll begin in an auspicious way. Nirdeshta Vastu. In any spiritual text, any spiritual endeavor, you have to invoke good fortune by worshiping God, Guru, and the Vaishnavas. And it's auspicious in two ways. One, it's auspicious for by putting yourself in the humble position, you are in the position to understand, learn, and talk about spiritual texts. That's why you have to pray before you do a spiritual activity,
Otherwise, it's very hard to enter into the spiritual activity. When you do deity worship, you have to perform what's called Shuddha Buddhi. What's that? Buddha Shuddhi. You have to adopt a spiritual identity. To actually begin, you have to move from the ego to identification of the servant of God. So we chant Naham Vipro Chanada Patir Vaishno Nisudro. Gopi Bharta Parakamala Dasa Das. Naham Vipra, I'm not a Brahmin. Naham Vipra. Naham Vipra. Nada Patir Vaishno. I'm not Vaishya, I'm not Suja, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not any material designation. Gopi Bharta Parakamala Das. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. You purify yourself by consciously trying to embrace a spiritual identity. Otherwise, you cannot practice spiritual life. And that's why in any spiritual endeavor, excuse me, in any spiritual endeavor, especially speaking and writing about spiritual subjects, you have to have Mangalacharanam. You have to start there. And it invokes auspiciousness because prayer moves one to the humble position. And prayer, therefore, allows one to approach the absolute truth. The absolute truth is only to be served. And unless you're in the mood of service, you cannot embrace the absolute truth. You cannot realize, you cannot see the absolute truth. That's why when we go to Radhakund, there's a Shivalinga called Kundeshwara. You always pray to Kundeshwara to enter. Because Lord Shiva is the predominating deity of the false ego. And once you have unless the false ego is removed, you can't perceive God. Because what is the false ego? The false ego is putting yourself in the center. And then you're in that consciousness of being in the center and wanting to be served, you will not understand, you will not be able to see God in the center. Psychologically, you will occupy the space that God is meant to be in your consciousness. So Ramananda Roy says, no, this Nandi Shloka, which glorifies you, Lord Chaitanya, is great. It's a Mangalacharanam, because it will invoke remembrance of the worshipful deity. Now a few more technicalities that Ramananda inquired, by which subdivision of style do the players enter? The Pravesh. Then Rupa Goswami began to speak on that subject. I'll just quote his verse. This is the verse where, and it's beautiful Sanskrit poetry. I'm just going to read the English. While dancing on the stage, after having killed the ruler of uncivilized men, Kamsa, Lord Krishna, master of the arts, at a proper time accept the hand of Srimati Radharani, who is qualified with transcendental attributes. Anyway, for today I'm going to stop there. Would anybody like to ask a question? Would someone please say hello so I know I didn't lose you during the conversation?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who is that?
Bhakti and Stella. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say hello? Can people unmute their phone? Someone can say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Henry.
Henry, Haribo. Do you know what day is Jamuna's disappearance day? Do you know what day it is?
No, I don't.
February. Okay, I got to find that out because I hear it's, they're doing something in Vrindavan. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Chaitanya Priya.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for...
Thank you.
Yeah, it's relishable to talk about these subjects. Anyone else like to say hello? Who's that? Hi, Bo?
I was just saying I can feel you relishing this scripture that you're feeling, and the feeling is coming across loud and clear. I'm also relishing it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chaitanya. Anybody else like to say hello? Sometimes the phone is hard to unmute. Anybody else like to say hello? One second, I'm going to try to unmute everybody. One second. That's star 6. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, there seems to be some problem. Okay, thank you all. Why don't you call for a second?